welcome to this Sunday Morning Meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Praise God. That was the best altar call ever. Hallelujah. We might show it once more, but that's your lot. So anybody was in it that was, that's not here this week, get the word around, and they won't be here next week. I tell you what though, after last week's message, any of you lot that are here this week, you are the hardcore. You know? Hallelujah. No, you are the faithful. You are the people that realized last week's message was one of freedom.
Amen.
Amen. It's releasing us into what God has for us. It's the world that thinks that kind of thing is frightening. It's the world that says, oh, that's going to lead to all kinds of trouble. No, it's not. It's going to lead to all kinds of freedom.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. The strong tower that was advertised up there, by the way, we do want you to book in, but as church members or people that come to KF here, put it that way, you don't need to pay for the sessions, okay? So it's normally £10 a session, because we use that to give a good gift to the welcoming, the visiting speaker. But for church members, it's free. Hallelujah. You can also, if you want to, come and stay at Lamplugh House, in which case the sessions are still free, but you still pay for the residential place and your food and stuff, which is £50, I think, which isn't bad for a weekend, is it? Hallelujah. Especially as you get to eat Dave's delicious food. Hallelujah. But so if you want to do that, go for that. Talking of food, we have yet more opportunities. Okay, well, actually, we don't all have more opportunities at this particular moment. This is for the ladies. Ah, yeah. If you've got your delightful new bulletin, okay, with all those smiley faces on the front, and smiley faces on the inside too, hallelujah, you will see under the big green line, understanding in the gap, it says ladies get together at the Kamsang restaurant. It's on Friday, the 6th of March, which, with my remarkable brain of aptitude, says this Friday. Hallelujah. Should be a really great night. I've had some really good nights in the Kamsang. If you've never been there, it's a really nice Chinese restaurant, excellent food. But you need to let Chris Birch know. Now, who is Chris Birch? Some of you are saying. Please stand up, Chris. Hallelujah. She's never going to organise anything again. That's it. That's Chris. Please let her know by tomorrow to get the names in. Now, I know she's let some of you know, but there's people here whose names aren't in the directory, and spread it around if you know the people that don't know about it, okay? It's not exclusive. It is for everyone who is female. But you do need to let Chris know by tomorrow so she can get it booked. They're actually usually pretty busy at the Kamsang. You do need to book. Okay? It's going to be a good night. Hallelujah. God is so good.
Yes.
Yeah? So that message, I've started alluding to it already. If you didn't hear last week's message, make sure you get online, kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire, and click on where it says the podcast. It's a green button on the homepage, and go and listen to last week's message. It was a long one.
Yes.
Had to go down after the end of the meeting and say, dear Mr. Caretaker, ever so sorry. Don't think we're going to be out of here on time. We had about 10 minutes to clear everything. Hallelujah. But he was absolutely lovely. He said, oh, no, absolutely no problem whatsoever. And I said to him, oh, well, do you want us to pay for the afternoon session? He said, oh, no, don't worry about that. So it wasn't that nice of them. Hallelujah. So praise God and thank you to the library staff. Hallelujah. Because there might be someone who happens to listen to this message and now thinks I'll bill them. But now you've listened to that bit, you won't. Hallelujah. Yeah, the last week's message was an absolute keynote message for us, wasn't it? Hallelujah. I'm not going to go back over it, but just to say this whole thing of honouring is so key for what God is doing. Amen. It releases power. That's what we saw from last week, and that's what we want. It releases, will bring revival, as I said, in the church news, because revival is about the church sort of standing up, knowing God, knowing who He is, seeing the power flow through us. Now, why do you need that honouring? Why do you need it? I'm not speaking on honouring. This is an extra. This is a bonus. This is a freebie. You haven't got to pay for this one. Right? The other one's very expensive. Why are we talking about this? Why am I giving you this freebie a little bit? Because through it, God will bring freedom in your life and a release of power in your life. Now, what God is doing amongst us, you see, is releasing this power. And if the honouring isn't there, that's when you start getting the abuse of it. That's when you start to see things falling apart. People get full of themselves. The Bible says, don't think more highly of yourselves than you ought. Why does it say stuff like that? Because God, when God is moving, it's very easy to get proud. You think, oh, wow, what a cool church we are. Look at all those other churches. Well, that's when you just about kill what God is doing. Yeah? So it's important that we honor God, first of all, and above all, in everything that's happening. But you see the anointing, and then there's the anointing upon the leadership. So you would, if you honor me, I'm not the only person in leadership, but I'm standing here. But so if you're honoring me, it means, for example, well, you are honoring me at the moment because you're all sitting there listening rather than arguing back at me. So there's a measure, it's a good measure of honoring already. Well, some of you argue back, but we'll talk about that later. When you honor somebody, you're ready to receive from them. Now, this morning, I don't say this with pride, so don't hear it wrong. God will speak through me. All right? Because that's the anointing flowing. So when you honor someone and you honor the anointing on them, you will hear God as I speak. You don't want to hear Paul Abel. All right? He's boring, inconsequential, and tells bad jokes. But Paul Abel in Christ, you don't have to agree. I heard someone say that's true. Yeah, but Paul Abel in Christ, under the anointing, now he's worth listening to because he'll bring the Word of God.
Amen.
And I've got the Word of God for you this morning. It's gonna do what God was prophesying in the worship, that there's going to be a release of faith. It's not that you've not got the faith, it's in there, but as we get into the Word today, there's going to be a release. It's so simple to walk in supernatural faith, and God's going to birth that in you in a whole brand new, fresh way this morning. Anybody want that?
Yes.
But you see, as I'm speaking this, if you're someone that is honoring the anointing, already the Holy Spirit is feeding you and you're beginning to receive it, which is why I'm saying all this bit as the freebie before I get to the expensive bit. All right? Because if you're sort of, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, and you're beginning to anticipate that God is speaking, you're ready to receive what I have to say. Because I tell you, I haven't got any wise or clever or special words to say. It's going to be a very, very simple message. But God is going to speak to you through it because of an anointing here this morning.
Yes.
See, Brian believes it, just about. Hallelujah. If you really believe that, you'd be going, oh, yeah, praise God. We're going to get something. Yep. One of the things I love about Kingdom Faith Yorkshire is on the whole, apart from that bit, we'll ignore that bit, but on the whole, not the very recent bit, but the bit before where we got the...
It's been tricky enough.
Anyway, I've lost my place completely now. No, my fault. Well, it was more than one thing. But this one thing that I like about it is you are very responsive. But you see, what it does is it draws the anointing. It's not just that when we've got a speaker up here, it's great for that speaker. It makes them feel at home and welcomed, although it does, and why wouldn't you want to do that? You know. But it also draws the anointing sort of through that person into you. Okay, so you get something. Do you want something from the Lord?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, and of course it's not just about sitting and listening. It's about a whole lifestyle of respect and honor. Somebody asked me this week, what is the difference between respecting and honoring? Yeah? And the only thing I came up with at the time, but it's quite interesting, I think it's still true, is that when you respect somebody, you don't necessarily agree with them. And when you respect someone, it's like an attitude of mind. But when you honor somebody, you do something about it. But you see, there's another dimension to the honoring here. Because it's not just about honoring leadership. It also says in the Word quite clearly to honor one another. And suddenly you see, what that means is when we see one another as anointed ones, we can receive so much more from each other. It's not just James or Paul or Margaret or Ermintrude. But it's that anointed one of God that I'm sitting next to. You know? It's not just your wife. She's a chosen one of God. It's not just your son. It's a chosen one of God. An anointed person. You know? And suddenly, there's something being released here when you suddenly see. So that's why we're honoring the anointing on one another. And we do something about it in the way we serve one another and the way we love one another and the way we care for one another. And we won't speak badly of one another because we don't want to stop that flow of what God is doing. Because one thing that's certain, God is bringing increasing power. With increasing power comes increasing responsibility. With increasing responsibility comes increased enemy activity. Amen? And one of the key things that the enemy will always try and do, and he will do it here, I'm telling you this now so you're ready, is he'll try and turn you against one another. Right? Usually through offense. Okay? But when you take offense, you build a wall. All right? You build a wall between you and God. If you're feeling upset, it's you that's in the wrong. Now, maybe the person that did something that upset you, maybe they were totally out of order, or maybe they weren't. It's irrelevant because it's on the inside. It's the inside that actually defiles you, not what comes from the outside. You're going to get offended in what God is going to be doing. Fantastic. Awesome. Brilliant. Because when you're offended, it's a chance to change.
Yes.
And get your heart more right before God, and there comes a greater release. Yes. Offense is a gift. Doesn't feel like it at the time, but offense is a gift to get us right before God. God purposely lets that annoying little person in your way to let the stuff that's in you get out. Because if it's in you, it's corrupting. It might not even be on the surface, but that corruption is in there, and you don't want that in there. You want it out. Yeah? When you've got a boil festering on your arm, you don't want the boil just to have a little patch over the top of it, or it's going to get worse and worse and worse, and you'll end up with blood poisoning. You want that poison out, don't you? Yeah? Even if it's going to go, you want it out. Sometimes offense is, but you do want it out. Hallelujah. Because once the boil is lanced, correctly and safely in a proper health environment. You know, it then I'll feel better. The pressure's gone. The poison is out the body. Like that with a fence, like a boil, like a pustule on your bum. And it's time to get it out so you can sit down and relax in the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. I think I'm still under the anointing. Hallelujah. Right, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. So along with this message this morning goes honoring to release what this is talking about. Let's have a look, see what we've got here. Now, the writer to the Hebrews is writing to the Hebrews, to the early church. And he says this, remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in the great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. I don't know if this is true for you. Maybe it was. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. You ready to have your property confiscated and be happy about it? Because I tell you what, if somebody takes something off you, you'll probably be offended. But what is offense? Do you dare say it? Hey, the danger is I'm preaching this. Hallelujah. Praise God. It is. It's a gift. I don't want my property confiscated, but if it gets confiscated and something rises up inside me, it's just my heart. It's not to say the confiscation was right, is it? But it is wrong what's on the inside here. Okay, so you sympathized with those in prison who joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves have better and lasting possessions. In other words, they got their eyes on their heavenly reward. All right, they knew what they got in heaven, and in that sense, because of what they had in Jesus Christ, they had Jesus Christ, then their reward motivated them rather than what they just had absolutely available. Amen? I mean, that was a cost. You were losing everything. Some people find it difficult just to give something. And here they were being confiscated of very precious things. I mean, homes were being confiscated. All right? Their cars weren't being because they didn't have them. But we're talking about things that were precious to them and useful to them were being taken from them. There's a cost. This is a great message, isn't it? Eh? The gift of offense. And there's a cost here. There's something really good coming. But we need to grow up and realize that this is a full part of the gospel. It's not just all skipping through the tulips, singing, "If I was a butterfly," or "If I was a fuzzy wuzzy bear." Those of you who are old and long in the tooth as a Christian will remember it. I sang it as a child. So, but it's not all about that. It's about this. It's about being ready, because I tell you, with this great power and coming great responsibility, for which we need the honouring so that we don't allow it to explode and go messy and go wrong. If you look at where moves of God have happened and it all goes wrong, it's because they forgot to honour one another and honour the anointing, and people start to abuse what's happening there. Okay? They forget their position, or you think you can do something without God. You think you think you're the man. Well, you are the man in the Lord. But you're not the man on your own. Or the woman. Or the kiddywink. God is moving. Honor. As the enemy comes in. As the power increases, the enemy comes in. We will, as a church, face greater persecution. Do you want revival? Do you want God to move? Do you? I do. Do you?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
God's gonna.
Yes.
He is. But I'm just giving you the full package here. We're not about being a soft, soppy bunch. We're ready. We don't think, oh, revival's coming. It's all going to be fantastic. We're going to have 2.5 million people in the church. I don't know who the half is. 2.5 million, maybe. 2.5 million people in the church. Everybody's going to love us. It's going to be fantastic. We're going to have massive, 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 massive meetings. That may well happen, but there's also going to be a lot of other stuff being stirred up, because there's a world out there that doesn't want Jesus Christ as their Lord. There's a spirit world out there who certainly doesn't want Jesus Christ as their Lord, and we're treading on their toes. We're supposed to tread on their toes. And as that all happens, there's things get stirred up. People will get offended at what we do. Maybe they'll try and stop what you're trying to do. Maybe there'll be these confiscations. I don't know. I'm not preaching that's what's going to happen. I'm just saying that is here, and we need to be ready, and don't start thinking, oh, it's all going wrong. God's not here. God is here. You know, when these things start happening, we say, praise God. That means we're getting it right. Hallelujah. If we're not stirring up any trouble in the spirit world, then we can all be left alone, and we can all go and sit on the sofa. Hey? And watch EastEnders or whatever you want to fill your mind with, because there's no point doing much else if all you want to do is be comfortable. You might think, well, I'm 75, it's about time I retired. Sorry, there's probably only Keith in here that's actually 75, but I'm not picking on you. And now I've revealed your age as well. See, it's so easy to offend somebody. Sorry, Keith. But, you know, it's not a time to retire.
Amen.
There is no retirement in the Lord.
Amen.
You are earning a reward from the Lord up to the day you go, pah! Okay? I want the maximum in heaven for when I get there. But as we're going to see, it's not just when I get there, because it's your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you're building this reward up in heaven, but you're drawing on it for the now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Sometimes we sort of feel a bit guilty about reward. It sounds like a sort of a sinful and a selfish thing. But Jesus isn't daft. He knows it's a motivator. It's how we were created. Do you want to get kids to do something for you? Offer them a reward. Tell them to do it out of the goodness of your heart, and they're not going to be so keen. It's okay to give reward. Reward might just be thank you to somebody. Or it might be a brand new car. You know, they're a little extreme examples, but you know, reward is good. And we're rich in heaven. Our greatest reward is Jesus Christ himself. But I'm drawing on Jesus Christ now to live the life in the present. Amen? Okay, we haven't even got to the message. But I knew God had said do this little bit here first. Ready to pay the cost. Amen? Because as it says here, I've turned the page over. What's that bit about discipline? Anyway, so, you sympathize with those in prison, joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly... Ooh. Rewarded. You see, I'm not just making this stuff up. Your confidence. You know that despite things looking glum or things not happening quite as you would mostly desire, You don't throw away your confidence because you know the Lord's taking you through. You have an eternal plan. You're not just here for the now. You're here forever. For the ever. Amen? That's where this whole thing of confiscation and loss of property and being prepared to pay the cost, it's where, you know, it fits in with things like giving into the offering and paying our tithes. It's a cost, you know? It's the usual guide is giving is 10%. Well, 10% was sort of in the Old Testament, although it was before the law. But so it's a good baseline, but we're now by grace. It's just a baseline. Yeah? And people say, well, do I give 10%, 10%? You know, give what God has given you in your heart. Don't try and shortchange God because you will be richly rewarded. You say, are you preaching the prosperity gospel? No, but I'm not preaching the poverty gospel either. God wants to richly reward you. Why would he want to richly reward you materially? So you can be generous to others. Amen? The church is supposed to be rich. Not walking in poverty, because it's the only way we can have an effect. If we want to meet here, we've got to have money. Basic, isn't it? If we want to have a building, well, God's saying we're going to have a building, there has to be some means of providing. Now, he can give you a building for £1, or he can give you £1 million for the building. It doesn't matter. God provides richly. The end result is you still have a building worth £1 million. However, God gave it, and that's fairly wealthy to start with, isn't it? Hallelujah. God wants to richly reward you. That's not just what this is talking about here, but it is also what it's talking about here. Our richest reward is Jesus Christ himself. And what is he? He's our salvation. What is salvation? Our peace, our prosperity, our wholeness, our completeness in him. Amen? Are you liking this morning? Are you receiving this morning? You know, you get so much junk fed into our minds during the week sometimes. We need the Lord to sort of come in, throw out the junk, and realize it's good being with God. Yes. Amen? Amen? It's good. You know, there's stuff that does go wrong, stuff that doesn't work out. It's part of life.
Yes.
Get on with it. Do something amazing. As it says here, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Too many people give up. What has God promised here? What has God promised us as a church? A church that influences this town, Yorkshire, and the nation. A church that is full of people. He has promised a large church with many, many people in it. Are they here today? No. Are they on their way? Yeah. Amen. Too right they are. But if you don't persevere, you won't ever see it. Even in God, things do take time.
Yeah.
Well, he's not actually in time. He's seen the end result already, so he sees the church full of loads and loads of people. Amen? That's the good thing about it. That's why he's got ultimate faith, because he's already there. But you see, faith says, I'm already there too. Because I'm going there, and actually I'm an eternal being outside time anyway. I'm just temporarily caught up in this trap. So I'm already there, so I might as well thank God the fact that this church is a church of, you know, loads and loads of people that is influencing this town, changing this town, reaching out to Yorkshire, reaching out to the nation, seeing people saved, seeing lives changed, seeing people turned around, seeing happiness restored in people's lives, seeing holiness and righteousness being something that's upheld and valued in our nation again, seeing biblical standards saying, what do we do? Let's check out the word. All it takes, it's got to be a people who are going to persevere in this. Amen? Hallelujah. You're receiving.
Yes.
Good, because you're honoring. Or are you, as Pastor Colin said, or are you sitting there thinking, I don't know if I agree with that? Is that right? Hallelujah. If we come in with that attitude, you can never receive, because you'll never go beyond what you already agree with. Hallelujah. Go home, read the word. Hallelujah. Check out what's been said. You know, that's not in the Bible. Well, find out. What's going on? Was it your misunderstanding? But here, just get plugged into what God's saying. Amen? Right, moving on. So that you will receive what he has promised. We are not of those, it says in verse 39, who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved.
Amen.
Are we going to shrink back?
No.
Are we going to believe?
Yes.
Are we going to be saved?
Yes.
Yeah, we're already saved. I should think most of us in this room, we are being saved and we will be saved.
Yes.
Amen. It's a continuous work. Right, now faith, verse 11, because this is what we're going on to. That word saved there, by the way, is not what I was preaching on before. You know, I kept going on about soteria, the Greek word. It's a different word. It actually means acquired or purchased. You've been bought by God. You've been redeemed. You are His. There's no doubt about it.
Amen.
Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. For this is what the ancients were commended for. Okay. Now, this is a great verse, but there's a couple of verses in this passage that can get you really depressed. All right, because you can look at it and think, I can't get there. That's too tough for me. If you've been around me this week, you will have guessed, you will have known, you will have discerned in the spirit that I was going to speak on this morning. And you were probably wondering how I was going to get to it. Hallelujah. Well, I'm getting there. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. This is a biblical hope. Biblical hope says this is what God says, and that hope is certain and sure. It's not a, oh, I hope one day I'm going to be saved. I hope one day Jesus will come back. Don't be misled by the English word. There's a certainty and assurance in it. Our hope is certain that Jesus is Christ is our Lord. Our hope is certain that He's coming back again. Our hope is certain that we have the final victory because we have the victory now in Jesus Christ. Our hope is certain that all the promises in this book are going to be fully honored. Our hope is certain that we will be richly rewarded as we pursue God faithfully. Amen? Hallelujah. Right. So let's have a look at what these ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. Okay? Even scientists with their various theories have to have some kind of faith. If you believe in the Big Bang theory, you've got to believe there was a nothing and suddenly there was a Big Bang. That's faith. They're trying desperately to scientifically prove it, but you can't really. You can have some sort of evidence, but I tell you, there's an awful lot of evidence for a God.
Yes.
And not only just by looking at flowers and the mysteries of the universe, but by the fact that this man came and demonstrated that he was the Lord.
Yes.
Amen? But I can have a respect for the scientists, you know, viewpoints and whatever they're going on. I don't want to get on the bandwagon of mocking them and just pulling them to pieces. You know, they're educated people. They're trying their best to work out what's going on. But God is above our wisdom. God is above our understanding. Not that we can apply our minds to the whole situation. Of course we can. Amen? But we know that God created the world.
Yes.
We do it. We can only accept it by faith. But everything in here I can test. I see God is faithful. So I might as well believe Him for the bits like I can't absolutely test. Hallelujah? You know, I mean, Darwin had some great theories of evolution and stuff like that, and I see natural selection. But I tell you, have you ever put something on the shelf and it's improved? Have you ever bought a loaf of bread and 3 days later it looked much nicer? Yeah? Have you ever built put up a garden shed and 3 years later the roof was much better at keeping the water out? Have you ever planted something and it's lived forever? Have you ever noticed that there are slightly a few more wrinkles on your face now than there used to be? It's because everything decays and deteriorates. That's the natural order of things. It breaks down. Whereas evolution says it gets more complicated. We were once slugs and water plants and stuff. And as things evolved, they got brains and became clever and became people. Okay, I know that's not, you know, strictly it, but but the natural thing is deterioration knowledge. Even natural selection, which exists, you know, when you get a sort of an animal living in a certain area and it adapts, is a lack of information. What it does is it specializes to live in that environment, but loses the ability to adapt to others. It's actually the information contained within is actually getting less. It's the same thing. It's going down. That's how it runs. Until Jesus comes back and restores everything with a new earth and a new heavens. Amen? Right. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. Yeah, come on, Abel. By faith he was commended as a righteous man. Okay, by faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. I mean, you look at these things and you look back at people living thousands of years ago and you think, how can I relate to that? What was faith doing? What was Abel doing? It offered a better sacrifice than Cain. What's going on there? Skipping on a little bit. By faith, Noah was warned about things not yet seen. In holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. And I don't know about you, but at this point, you can begin to feel this big compared to mighty Noah. What a man. He built a boat. He built a boat. Well, I suppose if I had an instruction book. Okay, but what about Abraham? By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed. Oh, imagine doing that. By faith, Abraham moved house. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father. Oh, wow, these great men of faith. Abraham had sex with his wife. These are people. But what's going on? Why is this inspiration? All these people were living by faith when they died, it says. They didn't receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed from a distance. What's going on here? By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. Oh, what a man of God, one of the great patriarchs. What did he do by faith? He prayed and blessed someone. Anybody here pray for somebody? By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about instructions for his funeral. He wanted to be buried back in the promised land. Okay, let's go backwards then. Go back to verse 6. This is the one. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Oh. I found not to please God then, because I haven't always got faith. You know, you feel Noah had faith, he built a boat. It was a boat in a desert, so it was a pretty good achievement, wasn't it? By faith, he built a boat. But it's not what it's taught. By faith, Abraham moved across the hundreds of miles in the ancient times. What a move house that was. By faith, Abraham waited for 25 years for this child, you know? These are guys of faith. But what was their faith in? Was Noah's faith in the boat? And if his faith in God, what was it? A kind of mystical faith. Faith. Give me faith, Lord. Because sometimes that's what we treat it like. Give me more faith. Give me more faith. Lord, more faith. More. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I want it, Lord. I want faith. And yet here, it tells you what faith is. And it's very, very simple. There you go. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. Are you men of patriarchal and women of matriarchal faith? Do you believe God exists?
Yes.
It's not that bad, is it? That's a pretty reasonably low borderline to see all this great stuff happening by faith. Believe that he exists. Ah, but there's an and. There's always an and. Here it comes. And that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So maybe it isn't so tough either all. So your two great requirements to be a person of faith is to believe that he exists and that he rewards you. And this pleases God. This really pleases God. The word actually means as well, Essex, well pleased. That's what it means. It's not just pleased. Yeah, that's lovely. When you believe in him and you believe that he rewards you, God is saying, oh, this is great. I'm so happy. I'm so pleased. I'm well pleased with these guys. And that's cool, isn't it? Believe that he exists. Did you know it's in the third person singular? I only know because I read about it. All right, the word with the verb there is to be. You say, well, he exists doesn't sound very much like to be. The verb to be, yeah? It's an irregular word in English, so it gets changed and messed around. I am is still I be. I be the pastor. I am the pastor. She be Eileen. She is Eileen. It's an irregular word. It changed all its existence. You could, if you like, in a way, say, he am. He am the God. Hallelujah. How many of you learnt French at school? Do you remember the verb to be, être? In French, it's an irregular verb. Je suis. Doesn't sound much like être. You're away. Two S. Il est. Nous sommes. Vous. Et. Ils. Now, every single ending's different. It doesn't look like the same stuff, does it? But it is. Now, if we go into Spanish, apparently, there's even two words for to be, so we're not going there. You can go and talk to Graham and Karen after. Hallelujah. Whereas other verbs, like walk, they're nice and regular. I walk down the street. He walks down the street. They walk down the street. We walk down the street. Much, much easier. Even in French, it's just a little bit more complicated than it would be, wouldn't it? But it's still the same thing. It's still regular. It follows the old set pattern. Je marche. Oh dear. Nous marchons. Vous marchez. You get the idea. Okay? It follows the standard pattern as it does in English. But the word to be doesn't. Why am I telling you all this? For a very, very good reason. Believe it or not. Because this verb here, he exists, is emi. It's to be in Greek. Okay? Now, if you want to, so it's emi, or amy, depending on how you pronounce it, I suppose. But if you go back to John 8:38, you don't need to, in your Greek New Testament, you'll find that it says ego eimi. Exactly the same thing. All right? It doesn't say he exists, though, in your English translation. It says ego eimi he hadas kai he aletheia kai he zoe. Whoa! I only know two verses in Greek, and that's one of them. Okay, ego in me, I am. It actually means ego, or ego is I. That's where we get the word ego from. Amy is I am. In other words, I, the I am. You know what it is now, don't you? The way, hei hadas is the way, kai hei aletheia, and the truth, kai hei zoe. Oh, I missed one out, never mind. The life. Zoe is life. Well, that's where you get the girl's name, Zoe, from. It means life. Okay, ego, eimi, I, the I am. I have always been and I have always will be, Jesus was saying. I am the I am. So when you get this little verse, it's believe that he exists. If you want to put it in another tense, it would say believe that I am the I am. All right, we're not just believing that he exists, we're believing that he is God Almighty. Because you could have got a little bit worried earlier when I was preaching, because if you know the book of James, it says about what does it matter if you believe that he exists, even demons believe and shudder. Okay, but this is just a little bit more. This is about believing he is the I am. But do you believe he is the I am?
Yes.
Do you believe he is the eternal being?
Yes.
That he is the I was, the I am, and the I will be?
Yes.
Amen. See, all those English tenses all in one little bit there. I mean, you're getting Spanish, Greek, French, third person singulars. This is education this morning. Hallelujah. So believe that he exists. Believe that he is the I am. Believe that I am. And that he rewards those who diligently seek him or earnestly seek him. The I am, Jehovah, Elohim, Jesus Christ, the God, is a rewarder of those who seek him, of those who go after him. So we're back to this word again, this word reward. What does it mean in the Greek? Reward. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you want to be rewarded? Because God wants to reward you, but it makes him well happy, well pleased, man. She's giving me such a look. It makes him well pleased when we believe that he exists and that we believe that he rewards us, because he wants to reward us, and it's difficult to reward somebody that doesn't want to be rewarded. Yeah? Now, I've told this before, so forgive me, but my two sons are very different. Tom, who lives in Essex, and Dan, who lives in Scarborough. All right. But Tom, when he was a little boy, you walk into the toy shop, and he was a Thomas the Tank Engine fanatic, but you take him into the toy shop and you say, Tom, what would you like? You can have anything you like. We knew what it was like. It's all right. And Tom would go around the shop looking for something that was cheap and not very expensive. It's just how he was. God's done such an amazing work in his life, and he just didn't feel that, you know, he was little Tom. It wasn't worth it. But we're like that with God. Yeah? We can think like, you know, God will just give me a little bit of healing or a little bit of reward. And it's so annoying. I remember getting cross with him because I couldn't give him something. Yeah? Look, I just want this to be yours. No, it's not. It's not. I can't possibly have that. You're having trouble imagining this, but this was what my little boy was like. Well, the number one mom was. Okay. Then Dan came along. Yeah. You see, Kate says that Tom came out of the womb saying, "Here I am, Mummy, can I help you?" And Dan came out of the womb saying, "Get out of my way, Mummy, I'm here." They're just different. They're both a wonderful blessing. They really are. Okay? But that's just how they were different. But they're a fantastic example of how we can be as Christians. Because God wants us to be the Dans. Say, come on, get out of the way, world. I'm having nothing to do with the world. I'm here, yes. God, use me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And as I do something, God's going to reward me. Yes. Oh, walk into a toy shop with, say, Dan, and say, "What would you like, Dan?" He'll have that, and that, and that, and that looks big, and I'll have that one, and that one, and that one, and can we take it now? And can we go to the next shop? So with Dan, you'd say, "We've got £10, you can..." Hallelujah. And he would look for something that was £10, and if he was £9.99, he was disappointed. Okay, that might be a slight bit of exaggeration. But that's what God wants us to be like. Because Tom's feeling like that came out of a feeling not really worthy enough, or he wasn't quite good enough to get that. He's not like that now. All right? But Dan, for some reason, God gave him with a sense of, "I'm worth it." Hallelujah. But you're worth it.
Yes.
Jesus paid a very expensive price for you. Yes. Hallelujah. And God wants to reward you. But that's why it's so important to honor one another. Because as we're rewarded, we can get very big-headed about it. Amen? And you can get into a materialistic kind of thinking. All right? When you give into the offering, when you give your tithe, you might decide, right, I'm not going for the minimum, I'm going for 20%. Because God will reward me. But you can have an attitude of, "God's going to reward me, that's cool." Or you can have an attitude of, "I'm going to give and God will reward me." I've said exactly the same words, but there's a different attitude.
Yes, yes.
One's for his glory, one's for your gain.
Yes, yes.
Amen. But God does want to reward you.
Amen.
When you're praying for answers to prayer, it's not a question of looking for the little answer. God wants to reward you with the big answer. He is the I Am. He exists.
Yes, yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Are you with me now?
Yes.
All right, so let's look at these guys again that we looked at just now. Is that right? Okay, we will then. Oh, we've talked about the Essex. Here, I'll just throw in a little bit of Yorkshire here. Where it says let's go back to by faith Enoch. By faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. That little word "and" there is "day" in the Greek, and it can mean "and" or "but" or even "now then." Now then, without faith, in fact, if it's Yorkshire, it's probably now then, without faith, it is impossible to please God. In fact, if we mix the whole, you know, dynamic of Britain together, we can have now then, without faith, it is impossible to well please God. Hallelujah. In other words, Enoch was commended as one who pleased God. And we can think he must have been some sort of holy floater, you know, because it talks about he walked with the Lord and then he walked not. What did Enoch do that was so awesome? He believed he existed and expected God to reward him. So God rewarded him with not physically dying, but just being was not. And having his name written in the Bible. Cool. All right. Abel. Good man of God he was. By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice. Why did he offer a better sacrifice than Cain? Because Cain was thinking, well, what can I give? I've got this, this'll do. This is, he might have even had a little slightly better attitude. Well, I suppose this'll be okay. This is good. This is, maybe even had a better attitude. This is my 10%. But Abel wasn't thinking about the offering. He was thinking, I'm giving this because he exists. And he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He wasn't doing a Cain, I've got to give this or God won't be pleased with me. Yes. I'm going to give this to God because he will reward me. He will be well pleased with me because I believe that he exists. What about Noah? By faith, Noah built a boat. Why did he build a boat? Because he believed God existed and rewarded those who diligently sought. Well, Noah got rewarded. He didn't die in a flood. His whole family got caught up in the reward. But the faith bit was to believe that God existed. If he didn't, he wouldn't have built an ark. All right, what about Abraham? Abraham was called to go to a place where he would later receive his inheritance. Why did Abraham go? Because he believed God existed and he knew that he would be a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Because that, and this is why it's got it at the beginning of this big passage. But very often you read, without faith it is impossible to please God. Noah, boat, Abraham, move house, and all the rest, and think, I've got such a way to go, Lord. And the Lord up in heaven is saying, Tom, have the whole toy shop. Do you get what I mean? He said, it's not that you've got to grow in faith. You have the faith.
Amen.
You have the mustard seed. Amen. When Jesus told the parable of the mustard seed, it wasn't a mustard seed. When you've got this much faith, you'll be able to move mountains.
Right.
It was this is all you need. Yes. What do you need? You've got to believe in me. You've got to believe that I am the am, that I am the I am. Ego, a me. I am.
Amen.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. You believe that, and you're in it with me.
Yes.
All right?
Amen.
By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months before he was born. Why did they do it? Because they believed God existed, and he was the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Did they get rewarded? Yes, they got a fantastic son that led a nation out of slavery. By faith, Abraham tested him when he had to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. Why did Abraham offer Isaac as a sacrifice? Because he knew that God existed and that he was the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So God was going to sort it some way, otherwise he would be dishonoring that, his own word. I think he thought that he was going to kill Isaac and he would come back from the dead, because he had a prophetic inkling as to what was going to happen between the father and son. But God showed him that it wasn't for him to kill his son and provided the alternative sacrifice, as he was ultimately going to provide the sacrifice. Amen? What a reward we all get from that move of faith. See, from Abraham's faith, we're blessed now.
Yes.
What did Abraham believe? That God existed and that he was a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Are you getting the picture this morning that God wants to reward you?
Yes.
Hallelujah. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. Why did he bless them? Because he believed that God existed, and he was the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Did God reward those sons? Yeah, they were ultimately blessed. They were saved from famine and they were kept safe. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. Why did he do that? Why was it by faith? Because he believed God existed and that he was the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He knew that it was important for his bones to get back to the promised land, because that's where the Israelites needed to be. And he knew that that's where his bones would be honored and they would remember the old stories and continue faithfully in the Lord. Were the Israelites blessed by that request? You bet they were. They got back as part of getting back to the promised land. By faith, people passed through the Red Sea on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. What did the Israelites believe? Struggling, knees knocking, but they decided that God existed because they listened to the leader. They honored the leader. You see, you could have respected Moses and say, off you go, Moses, I respect your opinion, but you're on your own, mate. But they honored their leader at that point. There were various issues later on. But at that point, they honored their leader and they went with him across the dry sea. They believed that God existed and he was the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. They didn't drown. They got through to the other side. The Egyptians came along. We can do the same as everybody else. Look, there's a pathway through the water. Come on, let's go. They didn't believe that God existed. And God rewarded them for their unbelief.
Oh, that's right.
Amen. Well, we could go through the list. All right, but I'm not going to. You can finish off that one. That is your message on faith. But Hebrews 11:6. You see, a lot of people have got that memorized. Without faith, it is impossible to believe God. They chant it as a kind of mantra, and it almost becomes a trap. That's not the verse. It's even got an and at the beginning. It's an example of the first two things that have occurred, Enoch and Abel, and the people that believe in the creation of the world. It gives those as examples and says, because, or and, or now then, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You've got to believe that he exists and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. For example, look at Noah, look at Enoch, look at Abraham, look at Moses. They believed that God existed and that he was the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I've said that quite a bit now, haven't I? But that's the revelation. He's a rewarder to those who persevere, to those who move on, to those who go with God, to those who listen to what God is saying and put it into practice because they believe. You only believe what you act on.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody up for reward?
Yes.
You know, when you preach the word, it's often appropriate to have a response. When Joanne preached the word, I suggested that our response be dancing to Hawaii 5-0. That's an unusual response. Other times you have like a call forward, don't you? An altar call. Because you're asking people to respond to the word. If you believe in it, you're going to make a response. If you're too proud to come forward, there's another issue going on in your heart. You need to get your heart right. You know, there's all those kind of things going on in those situations, which is why you do it. This morning, we're not going to do that. Our response is going to be something that we do all the time. But I want you to respond in your heart in the correct way. I wasn't planning to do this. God just said, do this as your altar call, if you like, your response. We're going to have the worship team up, and we're going to take up the offering. But this morning, that's your response to this word. Don't give because you have to. Don't give because it's what you could give. And, you know, don't get all in a panic about this and say, I give by direct debit or I give once a month or whatever. We're not talking about the law, all right? It's an act of what we're doing. Don't give like Cain, who gave something that was good, but his attitude was, I've got to pacify God almost. Give like Abel. What was the difference? He believed that God existed and that he was the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So when you give, expect to be rewarded. And that's kind of cool, isn't it? That's kind of nice to know. You see, the thing is, our reward is in heaven. This is the last bit before the offering. Our reward we're building up is in heaven. But don't we keep praying again and again? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your heavenly reward is building, but you're taking and drawing upon it now. It's like a heavenly bank account. It's all there for you, but you can use it now too. And the great thing about a heavenly bank account is you don't take it out and it's gone. The more you use what you have, the more it grows. Because as you take what you've got and you invest it, it's gonna grow and you've got actually more up there. That's the whole parable of talents. That's another sermon, and we're not going there this morning. Hallelujah. Are you blessed?
Yes.
Amen. I am, I tell you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God challenged me this morning. He said, I don't want you to have notes. He said, you're getting too dependent on them. Hallelujah. Why? Because I have to stand up here by faith, knowing that he exists and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Therefore, he will reward me with what needed to be said. I knew I was going to go through various bits and pieces, and God has rewarded me. And I trust you too have been rewarded.
Amen.
Let's have the worship team up, shall we?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.